yesterday night I put before you what is spirituality. So spirituality is to know the spirit in man and the old spirit already. For that, it is basic teachings given by all masters who came in the past. Those who ever met them, they gave them a demonstration of who we are, what we are. All masters, whether of the East or the West, both, first thing they gave out was, man know thyself. We are who we are conscious entities. We are in soul bodies. We have got body, we have got intellect, we have got outward faculties. But to know ourselves, we will have to divest ourselves of all outgoing faculties. Yes.
Master, I have to separate these a little bit so we can raise
all
the volumes.
All right. So knowing oneself means a matter of self-analysis. How to liberate ourselves from mind, outgoing faculty. As I explained to you last night, that we are conscious entities under the control of mind, mind under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are dragged like anything from the outer enjoyment. We are conscious entities, but identified with the mind, outgoing faculties, body and the world around us, so much so that we are self autonomous. So spirituality means we dying our conscious self from the mind, outgoing faculties and body and all around us. It is matter of pure self-analysis, rising above body consciousness, knowing oneself that we are carrying the factory of the man body. So the outer expression of the soul is called attention. These different departments of the body, which are sight, hearing, touch, taste and smell, these only work when our attention is with them. So if we draw our attention from these, with our open eyes we cannot see, with ears open we cannot hear. When you eat also, your attention is absorbed in something else. You don't feel any taste. So spirituality is the conscious knowing about the conscious self, which is driving this whole machinery of the body and its different departments. That is to know oneself. Social body, ancient being, as I told you, when the masters left the scene to keep their teachings alive, so social body came into being. So long as they are made with a very noble purpose, so that many people may derive benefit, so long as the practical people were there, people were able to derive full benefit of knowing oneself, and also that old self which keeps us in the body controlled, and that power which controls all universe. For want of practical people, the same good old custom stagnated, deterioration passed. We forgot who we are, what we are. So we reach to the conclusion that spirituality is not bearing the different labels on the man body. We chose in which school you are learning to know oneself and to know God by self-analysis. So it is the basic teachings of all masters. When the society came into being, naturally laws had to be made. How the society can be run without laws? The difference in the outer forms of religion is due to either narrow-mindedness, bigotry, or climatic influences, or the customs prevailing. I'll explain all this to you last night. Now the question arises, we need teachers in any subject we want to follow. You follow that the true education of the child commences from there, from the womb of the mother. Whatever thoughts of the mother are, they are impressed in the child within the womb. And then comes when he comes out of his womb, then parents, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters teach the child, their teacher. When they grow old, school teachers come up to train them, to teach them. All in the outer subjects which relate to the outer faculties, mind and intellect, there we need somebody to guide us, those who are adept in that life. If man wants to be a wrestler, he will go to the feet of a wrestler. If a man wants to be educated, higher studies, he will go to a teacher. Similarly, any subject that we have to take, we need somebody adept in that life. Similarly, all these subjects which I refer to relate to the outgoing faculties, our body, our intellect. Then we do need someone to guide us on the way, but in the way where all philosophies end, there the religion starts. I submitted you last night, the word religion means bring it back, leisure to bind. To bind back our soul by withdrawing from outside and contacting the controlling power which is called God into expression power within our own self. This is a subject where also we need somebody. We'll adapt that way. Call a bargain if you like. When outer pursuits, we do need somebody. Why not in a case which starts by rising above body consciousness? And the first step is there. How to withdraw from outside, how to rise above body consciousness, how to have a leap into the beyond, and what to do thereafter, do we not need anybody? It's a matter for common sense to decide. Now in the terminology of the saints, the word teacher, the word guru, the word master, these things are used there. They say without a guru nothing can be done, can be no problem. Now I have to dwell on this subject. Who is a guru? Who can guide us both ways in the worldly affairs too, and how to rise above body from the objective side into the subjective side? Rise above body consciousness to transcend into the beyond, and also guide us further in that place. So if we have to learn that teachings of the Master which they gave, There must be somebody who is dead that way, that way. So what the masters have been defining this word guru or teacher or master, I will quote you from different masters what they thought about it and what we are taking it to be. Guru Nanak was asked, who is your guru? And he said, Shabad is my guru. So what is Shabd? Shabd, God is a Shabd. God is wordless. When it came to being, it is called Shabd or word. The Shabd stands for the power which God into special power, which is maker of all creation and controlling all creation and permeating all creation. So that power is the true Guru, which controls all universe and so controls us in the body. This is what Guru Nanak said. Then came up Kabir. He says, I have been sent from God to bring you back home. He does not say, I am God. I am the messenger. Prophet Muhammad also had to say the same thing. So all others, they say they are the messengers who know the way back to God and have been authorized to take you back home. So, 10th Guru was asked, who is your Guru? I simply quote these things to you so that this word Guru or teacher or master, what does it stand for and what are his qualifications? He says that the one who existed before this world came into being, when he came to expression, that God into expression power is my Guru. He has quoted his previous birth also, refer to previous birth. That place has been found even now. He says, I was there, past birth. I was so much absorbed in God and so much in that intoxication that I would not like to leave that place. And God ordered me to come to the world. I said, God, what will I do? Because my mind did not like to come up here. But I will order, then ask me what to do. He said, most of the people that have sent to the world, they have only worshipped, God worshipped their own selves rather than me. You see? Now Christ came, he always referred to the Father who has sent him. He said, I am the Son of God. That's right, I am sent by God, you see. Well, Kabir also said, I am the messenger of God. Prophet Muhammad also said the same thing. He says, who I am? He says, I am the servant of God and servant of you all. I am sent here to have a see what is going on in the world below. So take me as your helper, as your, what you say, to help you your way back to God. So I am sent by God. I am not the God. Then he gave a very strong admonition, because that was the custom. You see, generally we take those people who came here, they take as God. He says, whosoever tells me that I am God, he will go to hell. So that to avoid those people from misunderstanding that the people have got at last. So you will find that God into special power, which is controlling all universe, and controlling us in the body too, as I submitted yesterday. This is a wonderful house in which we live in. There are so many apertures in this body, but we cannot run away out of it that keeps us controlled in the body. So body works so long as we are in the body. We leave this body only when that power leaves us, is withdrawn. So we have to leave the body. So wherever that resides in every heart, but in which he is manifest, overflowing, he is called the Guru, he is called the Master. He will become the mouthpiece of that power working through him. As Guru Nanak said, I am the mouthpiece of God. Christ said, I am only giving you what the Father has told you to do. Go back home. We do have respect for all these, you see. Who can unite us with God? Is there no father, no brother, no parent? But that God into expression power, where it is manifested, given a commission to bring back the children back to home, that is him addressed as a Guru or a Master. So for that reason, what is the criterion of such a man? He will only withdraw your soul, your attention of the soul from all outside and from the body below, bring it to the back of the eyes, which is the seat of the soul in the body, and there he will connect you with the God into special power, the two phases of which is light and sound. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Who withdraws your attention from outside enables to hear that God into special power, which is sound principle going on in the world, which is music of the spheres, which is called Nada, which is called Kalam-e-Kaleem, who makes that sound audible to you, he is called a Master. Paltu says, when you in the body from above, who that withdraws your attention, soul from the body, and gives a contact with that hearing of that nada, the voice of God, he is a Guru. Then what brings you in contact of the sound? He says, open your inner ears to hear the sound principle reverberating in all creation, resembling like a bell. Now you see, in our outer worship, we light the candles, we ring the bells. In our churches, temples, mosques, they are made out of the manner of man's body, and there they put in those symbols, two symbols of light and sound, to show that such like light and such like sound is reverberating within you. Withdraw your attention from outside and hear that sound coming from the heaven. That you cannot hear, that light you cannot see, unless you are withdrawn from outside and rise above body consciousness. The one who is competent to give you this contact of the two aspects of the God into expression power is called the Guru. The word Guru means who removes the dark veil from before your eyes and manifests the light of God. That light of God and sound has different stages, according to the densities of the planes beyond. There are so many mansions in the house of our Father. Just think for a moment what I am placing before you. What is the terminology of the saints means Guru or Master? So, all masters say like that. That's not only the thing what you should see. So, Guru, what is it? He is the Word made flesh. It is a link between man and God. Who is competent to withdraw our attention, which is the outer expression of our soul, from all outside, from the body below, give you a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness, and give you a contact with the light and sound principle within you, and you bear testimony that you see light. You bear testimony that the sound principle is going on. Who can do that? Then they shall tell us what? Don't believe in the words of a guru or a master unless you see for your own self. You bear testimony that they are light. They sound principle. So these are the things which are all masters said. You know, Christ also said that I must work the work of Him that has sent me. While it is day, the world marks the day. Day is alive. And the night cometh when no man can do anything. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. These are the words of St. John, really. I mean to say, to place before you, what the people are were in great misapprehension, what this word guru or master stands for. It is something who himself rises above body consciousness and makes you rise above it, gives a demonstration of it, and you bear testimony, you are not the body. You bear testimony, and these things are given in our scripture. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. These symbols are kept in the temples, churches, other holy places of worship, of the model of man body, that such like light is within you and such like sound is vibrating within you. So, the same has been said by all masters when they came in one social body or the other. Such like masters have been coming from time to time to guide the child humanity back to their father's home. Who is competent to raise our attention from all outside and raise us from the body below, open our inner eye, and we test you as there's light inside. That's the lowest grade, of course, but that will grow more and more as your eyes above plane. There are many mentions in the house of my father. Others say macrocosm is in the microcosm. So we have been given bodies to work in those planes. We are now working in the physical body. The light is covered by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 covers. You see, the light is not there, but as you shake off one cover, you see some light. If you shake the other cover, there's still more light. If all covers are shaken off, you see full light. Those who see the full light, he is called a khalsa, he is called a true Sikh. Those who see that light, he is called a truly a Hindu. Those who see that light, that is truly called a Muslim. And those who see that light, they are called true Christian. Not by the outer labels that we are carrying of one religion or social body or the other. By joining that, it means we have joined certain school of thought to see the light of God. That school is creditable. It turns out many students like that successful. So all masters, they say the same thing. And that power never leaves us. That is called Christ power, God power, or Guru power, or Master power. That never leaves us till the end of the world. But so long that power works at the human pole, he guides all humanity. As I just quoted, I have to work when it is day, when I am alive. When the night comes, nobody can work. So And so long as I am in the body, I am the light of the world. This is all of the Master said. So this generation goes on from posterity to posterity. That's the system of God, you see. This work is carried on. At one place, you remember, Christ said, well, I will send that Holy Ghost to guide you further later on in the world. So world made flesh is the Guru. You see? Who is conscious of that power working through him. He knows what has been given, what Christ and others say. He says, I am doing that work which God has told me, my Father has told me to do. They've got some plan before them. They see and then say. So this thing goes on, you see. Demand and supply, name goes on. One bulb is fused, another is put on. Light is the same. That light, world made flesh, never leaves you. Here and hereafter too. So our masters tell us, all I take to the feet of somebody who is taught, who is a guru in that sense of the word. Not, we are also, you see, respect all those teachers which give us, at whose feet we do learn so many things out of, we have respect for them. But this is something which starts where the world flash is in. When you rise above what you say, outgoing faculties, your mind is stillen. There the religions are. Religion means remains back, easy to bind. Like yoga. Yoga means to join your soul with God. God into special power mind that, not God absolute. God is special power is the way back to absolute God. That has got two aspects. Light and sound. You can ride on the ray of the sun, where will it lead you? Lead you to the ray from where sun, from where it is emanating. So all Master says the world made flesh. I and my Father are one. The world was with God and world was God. All creation came into the world. And the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. All these are quoting from Bible and others too. What is Naam, our word, our kalma? Naam is a place, our shabd is a place, from all this emanated, this creation of the world came into being. And when dissolution comes, this results into that, again new world begins. So that power is God's word, or Naam, or Shabd. With the mouthpiece of that power, he is truly respecting, we can derive full benefit from him by his presence. Guru Amar Das, for 70 long years, after search for God, he came to the feet of such a master. He said, it is a very great fortune that I met with such a living master. Of course, it is a great blessing to have a living master. So, this is, what is the job, you see, generally? Kabir says, these men, two appear to be two. God in man, and that power of God into expression, in appearance they appear to be two, but the other is the mouthy of the first one. So, all masters say like that. Mala Room says, the God sent us to the world. He came himself into the world, took the form of a man. He has sealed our eyes and ears there, so that may not see, and may not hear. Here he comes in the form of a man and takes off those seals from our eyes and our ears. This is what Christ also said, all the said. I have come to make those who do not see, see. These are the terms, you see, that can be understood when you are sit at the feet of some practicing master. The basic teachings of all has been the same. And when you meet such a master, he never leaves you. Here and hereafter.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The talk you just heard was recorded in New York, and it was recorded on October the 9th, 1972, and it was given the title, Man, Know Thyself. Our reader this morning is Joanna Swanson. Good morning, Joanna.
Yes. Hi, David.
Good morning.
Can you hear me well enough? I can adjust the volume.
No, it's perfect.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, good morning to my very dear brothers and sisters. This morning, I'd like to read a master's talk called What is the True Satsangi, which was given in 1963 in Louisville, Kentucky, and was first published in the March 1976 issue of Sat Sandesh. You know that Christ once said to his disciples, I don't want to make you slaves, but friends. Slaves do not know what a friend can be. Slaves only know how to do what is said. You can appreciate anyone if you work along with him and see what he is doing. So Christ said, I make you my friends. I think it is better that I address you as friends, because I have told you many times I am a man like you, with the same privileges that you have from God, but I have developed in a certain way you have not. And that development is due to the grace of God, or the God working through my master. That is, how to die while alive, how to be reborn, how to be cut off from the attachments of the world, the body, and other things. That is a way within you already. So I love you as friends. I regard you as the children of light, because I love God and that light is everywhere, so I have to love you and have regard for you as well. What I would especially like to bring to your notice is that initiation does not mean that you have become perfect. It is a way to perfection. One does not become a satsangi simply by being initiated. The word satsangi means, sat means unchangeable, permanence. Sangi means one who is constantly in contact with it. We have been put on the way to analyze our soul for mind and the outgoing faculties and have some touch, some contact with the God power. When you remain a constant companion of that God power, only then will you become a true satsangi. Now you have something, of course, to start with. You've learned how to contact it. But unless you begin to be conscious of that power all through, you are not a true satsangi. We have to work up to that. We have to mold our lives in accordance with the principles of satsang in thought, speech, and action. If you simply take a medicine and put it on the shelf, will your disease go away? All masters say that those who live up to what they are told are destined to have the master become their slave. Let's say that a father has four or five children. Some children obey him, others do not, and some children, not just because of obedience, even surrender to the will of their father. As I told you yesterday, when you surrender, the father becomes your slave. If a father has a very obedient son who just works according to his intentions and never asks for anything, what would the father do? When he leaves, he would simply hand over his key to that son, not to everybody. The master always says, look to the interest of others. Don't let others starve. That is what is required of those who live up to what they are told. love requires, first of all, keep my commandments. We don't keep the commandments. Some do with modifications which suit their own interests, but unless we live up 100% to what the Master says, we cannot truly get to know what God is. So actions speak louder than words, and thoughts are even more potent. A satsangi must, in his daily conduct, reveal what he is, not what he says, but what he is. If he says, love all, then see whether he loves all. If he loves all, is he always ready to help others without any show? If he still loves, is he ready to sacrifice his everything for them? Everyone can know so much about these things. Libraries are full of them. Scriptures are full of them. But it is just like, what do you say, loading an ass with books. What is it really? If a paddle or spoon moves through a sweet dish, will it get any taste out of it? To know so many things in your brain will do you little or no good, or perhaps it will do more evil than good, because then you will act and pose, oh, I know so much. But you don't live up to it. So the main thing is, we must live it, and live it not willy-nilly, but with pure love and devotion. Obedience comes next, and obedience is also not sufficient. We should surrender. This is what is needed. All masters have been saying that. If someone finds some shortcoming in you, what does he say? Oh, a satsangi is like that. Perhaps the master teaches that. Some people have been writing to me on account of some shortcomings here or there. I always reply to them, pity it is that I have to carry on with imperfect people. They are all not perfect. They are all on the way to perfection. Those who are on the way to perfection, here and there they do fall. So forgive and forget. We should be on the way for the common cause of God. That is why what is needed is to live up to it. Truth is above all, but true living is still above truth. Excuse me. People don't know whether you can have a contact with the light of God or not. They will see how you live, how you behave, what your treatment of others is. Are you fighting with others for selfish motives? Are you usurping others' rights? Are you sucking the blood of others? They will see you from that level. Here's the bulb. If the glass is besmeared with filth, although the light is there, it won't give off light. So the bulb should be pure, clean, without any dirt. Our hearts must be pure. What we have in our hearts should be in our mouths. And what is at our mouths should agree with our thoughts. When there is agreement between these three, consider it is right. Sometimes we do one thing for many days. It becomes a habit. Habit turns into nature. It's very difficult to remove the habit that has formed itself to our nature. So first of all, what are we to do? I would say perform no action in secret. There's no doubt about it. You'll find this a very helpful factor. Perform no action in secret. If anything requires secrecy, abandon it at once. Deeds of darkness are committed in the dark. This is the first thing. That's the criterion of a sin. You want secrecy. Just consider this in all your ways of life. Then further, do nothing which, after having been done, leads you to tell lies. That is also a criterion for something wrong. Lying follows a sin because you want to conceal it. I tell you, the criterion of a saint is that you will find him doing the same thing everywhere, inside or outside, at midnight or during the daytime, in the pulpit or in private rooms. Hafiz says, when we go to the pulpit, we give very long yarns of talks, but when we go to secret places, we do otherwise. Mind that God is within you, and the God power, the God in man, watches everything. How can you deceive him? You can deceive others. Our master used to say, if a child of 5 years of age is sitting by you, you won't do anything unbecoming in his presence. You will require secrecy. When you think that when the master gives initiation, the God power takes possession of you within, looks to the very thoughts that arise, knows the very trend that you have to follow, how can you deceive him? So I always say, be true to your own self. If you are true to your own self, how can you deceive others? This is the main criterion. Further, don't desire evil for anyone, irrespective of creed, color, even in thought, for anyone. Not just necessarily your initiate, brother, because whatever thought arises poisons you. Others don't know it, but you will be poisoned. And because of their radiation, you will find thoughts are more potent. The other day, I gave you the example of Akbar the Great, King of India. Birbal was his minister. He told the king that whatever a man thinks about anyone reacts in the other's mind. Well, the king said, how can that be proved? So the minister took him away to some place along the roadside. A man was coming at a distance, and the minister told the king, just think anything about him in your mind. The king was going bareheaded. He thought in his mind about that man who was approaching, I should shoot him. When the man came by, he passed the king, and the king said to him, look here, tell me truly, I will forgive you if you say it. But what struck you when you saw my face? The man said, I thought I should break your head with my fist. That reacts, you see? Never think evil of others. These things are thinking evil of others. When we say anything against anyone, what is that but thinking evil of others? When we backbite, what do? We think evil of others. When we make parties, one against the other, what do? We tell this side one thing, that side something else. You are deceiving your own selves, and the God in you sees you. I may mention to you today one incident. There are always controversies going on. In my own life, Master once ordered me during his lifetime to initiate about 250 people in the monthly gathering. Those who were after the mastership became worried. Oh, what is going to happen? Everything's gone from our hands. They made parties and spread a great deal of propaganda against me, in writing, through letters, and this and that thing. I was true to my own self. The master had ordered me to do it and to give talks at satsang places, attend the poor, the sick, the needy, everyone. Even when I left the office, I used to be attending the sick until late. 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and sometimes even later than that. The master had ordered me to do it, and letters about me written by the parties concerned began to pour in all languages from different towns. They were all about the same subject. He's such a man, he's such a man, he's such a man. And master also knew about all the letters. There were heaps of letters from all around. My master had always asked me when I went to see him, well, come on, please, give a talk. And what did I do? He was sitting there and he made me sit near him like a son or a student. I would speak my heart to him. I would open my heart to him in a heart-to-heart talk, and the people enjoyed. But they had arranged it so that for 8 months regularly, I was not permitted to go near the master, not even to talk to him. So much propaganda was being carried on, but I would just look at his eyes. And that was sufficient for me, because eyes speak more than words. My master used to go to the hills. My elder brother went there. I did not even tell this secret to my brother. Why complain of the master and his disciples to someone else? And I simply asked him, when you find yourself all alone with the master, simply ask him if there are any drawbacks or if there is anything I've done wrong. The disciple can err. Only masters are saved from that. I may have erred knowingly or unknowingly. Just talk with the master. When my brother came back, I asked him, did you ask the master about it? And he said, yes. The master said, I know he has done nothing wrong, either knowingly or unknowingly, but strangely enough, so much water passed over his head, yet he never came to me to tell me about it. So naturally, when Master returned, I said, I want a few minutes with you. Oh, yes, you're welcome. When the day had passed and it was about 9 or 10 in the night, he sent for me and said, close the doors. I was with him, sitting by him. I told him, I did not come to you because I know you are in me and seeing my every action. Watching my every action and also the trend of my life, you know where I am going. That's why I never came to you. He was all wrath. He said, those people have created so much hell. I said, well, I have not come for that. What did he say the next day? I used to always sit at the back just watching. He sat on the throne, on the pulpit, and said, well, Kirpal Singh, come on, give your talk. And those around him who were making parties said, no, Master, we won't like to hear him. We would like to hear from you directly. He said, no, he will talk. They insisted very much, and still he ordered me, you come here and talk to them. Strangely enough, the tables were turned in one night. This is what I say, if at all anything appealed to my master, it was my frankness, my being true to myself. I think it is a great qualification. If we are true to our own selves, how can we sin? How can we make parties and talk against others? I write you one thing, you write that man, that writes someone else. That goes on, creating friction in parties. You say, oh, well, I have not done anything. I'm quite all right. I'm a slave. I'm a servant. I practice sacrificing. That means cutting the very roots. The result is that the whole satsang is defamed. That has been the cause of trouble here, too, honestly speaking. Through God's grace and through your cooperation, I think most of it has subsided. If anything is still there, I would request you to wash it away by love. Do you know how many days I have spent on that, even in Chicago? We must be true to our own selves. Anytime the master asked me something, I would answer it him. Why do you conceal it from your master? We are even sometimes going to, I mean, dethrone the master, and we make parties like that. Nonsense it is. Is the master made by you, or is he made by God? So you are saved from such like things if you are true to your own self. The only true sympathizer of yours is the master and nobody else. So do nothing for which, after having done it, you have to tell lies. Thank God, thank my master, the God in him, and the cooperation of you all, this thing has subsided. we are now all in a loving embrace. One thing more I would say, try to help somebody else. You are not born for your own self. Share your income with those poor fellows who are needy, who are hungry, who are unclothed. Try to share, because God resides in every heart. I gave you a parable on how to feed each other. Don't bend your arms. Stretch out to others. This way, you will be saved from many things. And one thing more. Never try to remain alone unless you become a master. Perfect. Let all your words and actions be as if you are in His presence, whether you are outside or inside or anywhere. Two seekers after truth went to a master to be put on the way. And what did he do? He gave them two pigeons and told them, go someplace where nobody will see you and kill them. One man went out behind the wall and killed the pigeon and came back. Oh, master, I've killed it. There was nobody there. The other poor fellow is hunting, knocking about from place to place, in many secret places, lonely places. From morning to night, he could not find any place where nobody was seeing him. He came back. Master, I'm helpless. I could not find any place where nobody was seeing me. Who was it? He said, the very pigeon was seeing me. When he went to kill it, it looked at him. It was the God in him. Just think, these are very simple things, but they are pregnant with meaning. God resides in every heart. He also resides in you. He is watching our every action. Similarly, God and man, the master, also looks to our shortcomings, but he does so lovingly. He wants to wash them away, so always remain in his presence. That is why Kabir said, when the master initiates you, he resides with you forever. Master is not the body, it's the God power working in him. One thing, he is always present. Can you do any sin, tell lies, deceive others, act or pose? No. Further, just live up to what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments. The purpose is that they're not to be transcended. If anything happens unknowingly, oh, that's another thing. But don't intentionally do anything he doesn't want you to do. If you do these things, you have nothing to fear, even in the three worlds. These are the things that are required to be lived up to. They're simple things. What should you do then? Every day, both in the morning and evening, put in time for meditation, like a child. When children sit together, they forget everything. Do it like a child, with a clean heart, with enmity toward no one. The kingdom of God is for the children. A child goes to his mother. Does he draw any inferences to go to her? He goes simply out of love. He embraces her and goes into her lap. Say your prayers like that. In the evening, keep your diary. What do you do in the evening? Introspect yourself like a hard taskmaster. What have I done today? In the beginning, you won't find any shortcoming in yourself because it becomes a habit. There are so many drawbacks in it. I was a voracious reader of the biographies of the saints and great men in my student life. I think I read more than 300 biographies. I found that each man had introspected his own life. He did something to supervise his own self. But how can we do it? Make no allowances. Like a hard taskmaster, don't spare yourself. Then what will you do? If you have done anything wrong, repent. Shed tears. God, forgive me. I won't do it in the future. And then what will you do? For the future, be on guard. This is what is meant by the diary that has been given to you. I've kept a diary all through my life, even as a student. We don't care what we're doing. Something passes out of our mouth. We don't even know what we are saying. Think twice before you say something. How will it affect another? Think twice about what you write. When you are in anger, don't reply to anyone. Go to a separate place like a plague-stricken man and don't show your face. Be in a normal condition and then greet him. If a man is not perfect, he has already let himself down and others are also let down. Even thoughts are potent. These are the things that have to be watched. If you do it, well, it's not difficult to meet God, but it is difficult to make a man. For that reason, see no evil and hear no evil. Talk no evil and think no evil. You will be saved. If anyone sees any evil against anyone, he says, oh yes, he's like that. He works like an unpaid apprentice of the CID of God, Confidential Investigation Department, the Indian equivalent of the American FBI. He's watching, I tell you. We do not care for these things. The result is that we do not progress. If by God's grace you've been given a contact with the light and sound principle, what stands in the way? These things. So each one of us must work up to that. Some may say, we are seniors. That's all right. Others say, we are all disciples. The new ones coming up are behind us on the path. No, 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 no. A new initiate who lives like this will go ahead of you. Whoever doesn't, he will have it. That's all. So we have to be very careful about it. These are very little things, but little things harm you more than anything else. If you just take care of the pennies, pounds will be saved. If you don't care for the little things daily crossing your mind, thinking evil of others, seeing evil, talking, hearing about it, they, after all, will affect you. Once there was a rishi living in a jungle. A king went to the jungle to hunt. He found the hut of the rishi and entered it to ask for some water. He had a bow and arrow, and he thought, perhaps instead of taking it home, I will keep it here. He said, Rishi, I'll leave it here, and when I come back, I'll take it with me. The Rishi said, no, no, don't leave it here. No, no, the king said, I think you won't mind it. All right, said the Rishi, let it remain here. So the king left the bow and arrow. Now, the Rishi was a Rishi. How it affects, I tell you. He would go by the place where it stood and muse, what is it, a bow and arrow? Then he would walk on. Once, twice, thrice a day when he passed by, his attention fell on those two things. And then one day he thought, well, let me see what it is after all. He took it and tried out how it worked. He became a hunter. If you see things like that, be very cautious. A man who has occult powers can live among the snakes, and the snake's poison won't affect him. But any man who has not got that occult power is bitten and suffers. That is why I sometimes say behave. Be very cautious. Had the Rishi not allowed the king to leave the bow and arrow there, he would have been safe. But the daily passing by and thinking, what is it, what is it, went to make an impression until he eventually thought, let me see what it is, and he became a hunter. If you care for these very small things, you will see for yourself what you will become. Iqbal, a great poet who has passed away now, said, why did Prophet Moses go to Mount Sinai to seek God? Did he not know that God is after finding some man on earth? He is looking for us. We are not men. We are beasts in men. By appearance, we have the man body, but in our habits, our nature, our everything, we're like beasts, like animals, and even worse, we are even worse than serpents biting. So God is in search of a man who's a man. Why should a man go to the mountains? God is searching for us. He's going all around looking for us. But he can find no one. Baba Jamal Singh, our grand guru, the guru master of our master, was living by the river Bias. He went to the Murray Mountains and passed by our master when he was busy in his work as an officer in the military engineering service. One woman disciple was along with Baba Jamal Singh, and Baba Jamal Singh told her, "I've come for this man." The disciple said, "He has never accosted you, never greeted you." And Baba Jamal Singh said, "Yes, he will. Even the masters are seeking from somebody who is a man. After all, it is no easy job. The very soul trembles on becoming a master. It's a selection by God. With his help only can it be carried on. Never dream of that. I tell you, be disciples. The one who becomes a true disciple is sometimes selected for a job." These things that appear to be very trifling are very important. It looks as if we've come to the end of our time for satsang. So in closing, I would simply like to say thank you, Father, Master, for taking all of us, your children, under your wing, for your guidance, for your love. Help us to walk in your path, to love you, to show love to one another, and to all the creatures made by you. Thank you for this satsang and your beautiful words. Amen.
And thank you, Joanna, for reading for us. Could you tell us again what you were reading?
Yes, it was a talk originally from the March 1976 issue of Satsang Desh called What is a True Satsangi?
Great, thank you. We had 86 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones.